Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are here with your listener questions. We love the show because it's kind of all over the place. Lots of fun Disney talk in the next 35 to 40 minutes. So stand by for that. First, we've got a question from Kurt asking about bus, roulette, and dining options without an ADR. So we're going to have a great answer for that in just a second. First, a word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 7 Plus, possibly for the last time before I get the new Max, I see that we're down to just 112 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2018. Actually, 2019. Can that be right? 112 days. And we'll be standing out there in those cold corrals, getting ready to run 5, 10, 13.1 miles, 26.2 miles, having a great time. I get excited for this trip every time I look down at my iPhone to post to social media, check a text message, take a phone call, and anything else where I'm messing around with my phone. And now with iOS 12, I'm seeing screen time. Kind of a scary thought. Either way, it's a great app to get you pumped up for your next trip. You see great pictures. You get to customize the fonts, the colors. You can get audio alerts. Turn that Apple device into a Disney device right now with this and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who continues to support the Be Our Guest podcast every time you shop on Amazon. Whether you're picking up an iPhone case for that new baby that'll be on your hip here soon, maybe you're getting a cool Mizzou pop socket like I just bought on the spur of the moment today. Whatever you're purchasing, it's very simple. You can support the Be Our Guest podcast. Just click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It helps us support the show, helps us pay for our bandwidth and hosting. And we really, truly appreciate everybody who has done this in the past. And we hope you'll do that in the future. Again, just click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1383 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hopefully you're having a great week, and we are going to have some fun listener questions today. So thanks to everybody who continues to send in the questions to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We get to those as quickly as we can, and we've got a panel of four today, so we're excited for that. So joining us, we have the usual suspects from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, and very soon, the Disney Magic. We have Ricky. What's going on, Ricky?
That's right. I've got my beautiful door magnets ready, printed, ready to go, so I'm very excited about that. And I leave tonight, which this is, it's Wednesday, right? So I leave tonight to go to New York, and then I set sail on the Disney Magic tomorrow. So I'm very excited about this. It's going to be amazing. So
you need to play that song, If You Get Caught Between the Moon and New York City.
Maybe.
That'd be a great one for your playlist.
That would be a good idea. That's probably good. Yeah. So anyway, I'm excited to, do the cruise. It's a Halloween cruise. It's a Canada cruise. I'm super, super excited about this. So I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about it when I get back. So you guys will have to hear all about it here on the podcast.
It's a cruise with Len Testa. I mean, there you go.
That's a cruise with Len Testa.
So, that'll be fun.
Yes, that's kind of, it was when I found out that he was going to be on the cruise, I was like, because I posted it, and he's like, Laurel is like, I think I'm on the same cruise as you. So that part was really kind of fun. But yeah, it's going
to
be an awesome.
So get in the tequila tastings early. Be ready to sign up for that.
There will be no tequila left on the ship.
That's what I'm saying. That'll be a hot item. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester, getting ready to travel herself very soon. I'm jealous. You guys are going fun places. What's up, Pam?
I was like sitting here thinking, where am I going? Like, I knew I was going somewhere when you were talking about Ricky's cruise. I was thinking to myself, I know I'm going somewhere soon, but where is it? Yes, no, I was working on a little bit this weekend because, as a travel agent, I am my worst client.
Yes, me too.
I'm my worst person for myself. So last weekend, I was kind of scrambling to make some reservations for, we're going to do the luau when we're out there. Hopefully, we'll get to see George, too. I saw that he's in the chat room, so awesome. Hopefully, we don't eat at Chick-fil-A, George. Hawaii. But I've made reservations for a couple nights at Ama Ama, which is the nicer restaurant out there at Aulani. So lots of good things to look forward to there, kind of plan some of our days. And I'll be doing Disneyland on either side of that. So trying to get all that set up. So I'm ready.
Nice.
Sort of.
All right. Also joining us, we have a special guest today. He's going to be joining us for Friday show. So he came in early. We have Chef Todd from the east side of St. Louis. Not East St. Louis, though, just the east side of the river. What's going on? What's going on, Todd? Only St. Louis people get that reference. Just so you're safe.
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
No problem. All right. Let's jump into the first question, because Todd, I think you can help us out with this one. It comes from Kurt. He says, the title of it's Bus Roulette Question. He says, Mike, going to Disney this coming weekend, so this came in just a couple of days ago, for a weekend getaway, just my wife and I, since the kids will be busy. Due to my work situation, we are actually coming from different directions and meeting at the resort Friday evening. My wife wanted to plan that evening, but I suggested playing bus roulette. Once we are ready to go out, we'll just take the first bus we see, except for the water parks. We've been to Walt Disney World multiple times, so there isn't anything special we have to do. My question is, between the four parks and Disney Springs, what are your suggestions for restaurants that we could possibly go to? He says with an ADR, but I think he meant without an ADR. We are both foodies and like trying different things. Annual pass holders and Tables in Wonderland discounts. I know this is late for this week's show, but it'll be interesting to see what our experience is compared to the answers you give. Kurt. All right, Kurt, we bumped you right to the top of the show. So here we go. Todd, he's looking for suggestions for dining. I guess they're looking for sit down because we're talking about Tables of Wonderland, AP discounts, but not necessarily table service, I guess. But the four theme parks in Disney Springs, just kind of off the top of your head, where would you head if they're going to do a little bus roulette?
Bus roulette. Well, one thing I could say, if you don't have an ADR for some of these places, you could get the Open Table app, and a lot of the restaurants are on Open Table, so there's some last minute reservations available there if you can't get the actual ADR, you know, through the My Disney Experience. Some easy ones to get to last minute, maybe Teppanyaki, the Japanese stir fry in Japan. That tends to be available late. Some of the restaurants in Disney Springs, like Terralina, is a big place. We got a late reservation there the other night. Enzo's Hideaway. A couple of those places are big enough where they can accommodate a last-minute walk-up, possibly. Magic Kingdom, I'm not a big table service fan of it. Magic Kingdom, I just haven't done it much, so I would think they're probably be pretty busy. I would think that you'd need a reservation there. But probably Epcot and Disney Springs are your best shots at a last-minute walk-up.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have a hard time, I think, at the studios because there's just not a lot of options there.
Very likely there, too.
What about, could you get a Brown Derby last minute? I've heard people have pretty good success with kind of scoring last minute ADRs at Brown Derby if you want to go, you know, signature.
That's happened. Pam, you've done it probably, haven't you, last minute walk up?
Yeah, we have. But you know what I'm much more inclined to do is the Brown Derby Lounge. They don't even take ADRs, so you can just walk up, and it is one of the best people watching space ever, I think. You can see that Star Wars show if they're doing it up there. You know, I think the Open Table app that Chef Todd recommended is an awesome suggestion. And I think, like, you know, this is, of course, my take on this, but we did a lot of lounges because I don't make a lot of dining reservations. And you get some great food there. I mean, even the California Grill has a lounge that you can walk into. And we do that a lot and really haven't encountered many problems with it. So, you know, think about those things, too. If there's a signature restaurant that's appealing to you, chances are that there's a lounge where you can order from the full menu. Or you can just order what's available there in the lounge, too. So those are things that you might want to think about as well. And don't forget places like Jock Lindsay's and things like that. They're putting out some good food there, too.
And our live chat, we love the live chat. Kelsey's suggesting Tiffin's might have availability, too. So if you end up with that bus to Animal Kingdom, that's an option. And Michael's saying, you know, if you take the bus to the studios or Epcot, it opens up the Boardwalk and Beach Club area. So you got, you know, Ale and Compass, you know, Beaches and Cream, Flying Fish. I don't know if you're going to get one there. Maybe. But, you know, Trattoria El Forno. I like that one, too. Ricky, any suggestions, though, for this bus roulette to kind of score a last-minute place to eat this Friday? Like, you'll be cruising, but, you know, the rest of us that aren't cruising.
Well, since I didn't hear the suggestions, I might throw out something that somebody said, but I'm going to say, like, you could do 50s primetime at the TuneIn Lounge. So that's going to be something that could be an option. And let's see here, at the Plaza at the Magic Kingdom, maybe. So those are a couple of options that I think are kind of outside the box that maybe haven't probably been said, since I didn't know what was said before.
You're fine. You're good. You dropped out there for a second, but you're back. All right. Next question is from Brent, and the title is Riviera DVC Resort Buses. Hey, Mike, love the show. So when the new Riviera DVC opens, do you think they will share a bus with Caribbean Beach or have its own service? Seems too small to have a dedicated bus line, but seems less than ideal to share buses with such a large resort. Brad, and he says, PS, go Cubs. So I almost didn't use the email, but whatever. We'll go. All right, so Pam, what are your thoughts? Do you think, because it's kind of like he makes a good point. Riviera is not going to be huge, but I mean, if you tie it in with Caribbean Beach, it's almost too big. I would imagine it'll have its own bus, right? Would you say?
Well, think about the other, though, resorts that have a DVC component. They don't really have their own bus. Bay Lake shares with Contemporary. Grand Floridian Villas shares with the Grand Floridian. Wilderness Lodge Villas shares with the Wilderness Lodge. I don't think they'll have their own, but I think Disney's really good at sort of adapting the schedule that they have, based on the size of the resort and whatnot, and they send more buses there or make adjustments. So I think it's something that they've certainly thought of, or let's hope they thought of. I don't know. But either way, I think that they'll make adjustments to do it. I mean, Caribbean Beach is one of the larger resorts, actually, on Walt Disney World property. So maybe what they'll do is just make it more frequent, have more frequent buses, or send those larger buses specifically to some of the larger resorts. And that's something that you can think about, too. So,
but to remember, it's going to be on the gondola line. So they
that
tend
will
to
help with some of that as yeah. well. Yes, the gondolas.
It's going to be air conditioned, right? No. Who knows? Nobody knows. Let's don't start that. Maybe, maybe not. All right. The next email is Halloween decorations for an Aussie that doesn't understand. It's from Tracy. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I love your show and can't wait to see where you take me each week. So here we go. We've been all over the place already. I visited Walt Disney World a couple of times from here down under, but always at around Christmas time. That's just when our school holidays are. Now that my kids are all grown up and I'm not tied to a particular timetable for vacation anymore, I'm checking out my other options. For a couple of years now, I've been wondering what the differences are to visiting the world during the Halloween festivities. We don't really get into Halloween here in Australia, so I don't know what to expect, but you make it sound so lovely in the parks that I'm keen to see it for myself. Part of my plan would be to take a couple of days away from the parks to get around and see how the resorts are decorated for a different season, but I'd like to stay at one that really immerses guests in the spirit of the season. Which resorts do you think would give me the deepest dive into Halloween for a newbie? I live in Brisbane, 14,690 kilometers from Walt Disney World, and a really long way from where Pam lives. You guys are the best and never fail to keep me smiling. Kind regards, Tracy. All right, so Ricky, how would you describe, the comparison between the Christmas season and the Halloween season for somebody who hasn't grown up with Halloween as part of the culture? What would you say? And what resort would you pick if you were Tracy to really? Because I think you got to combine, to me, I think what you got to do is kind of combine the fall feel with the Halloween season as well, here. So what do you think?
Right. Yeah, that resort is stumping me at the moment. But as far as like the differences between Halloween and Christmas, I mean, they're both kind of magical in a weird sort of way, especially at Walt Disney World. If you're looking at Universal and Halloween Horror Nights, maybe not so magical, maybe more deathly. Disney definitely has a bit of a magical sense to their Halloween. It's really kind of there's something that it's not very describable of what it is. It's just a lot of fun. I mean, they have all the decorations out at the Magic Kingdom with the pumpkin people and all that kind of stuff. And they've got the fall decorations in Liberty Square. Really, the Magic Kingdom is the only place that celebrates Halloween per se at Walt Disney World. So as long as you go to the Magic Kingdom, and I would definitely suggest hitting up the Halloween party, to get a real feel of kind of Halloween, fun Halloween, I guess I should say, to really understand what's going on with that. I can't pick like a fall resort, like, or, a resort that kind of screams fall. Maybe Wilderness Lodge? think, or Fort Wilderness.
Yeah, I would say the most would be Fort Wilderness. I mean, of course, that's a different type of feel to your stay. If you're used to a typical, say, Riverside or Beach Club, I mean, you're going to have a totally different feel over there. But it is more like the, because when we think of, I mean, here in the States, when we think of Halloween in the fall, we think of like hay rides, we think of, you know, apple picking, you know, stuff, at least here in the Midwest. That's kind of what the is.
Kind of wagon ride at Fort Wilderness, which would be kind of fun as a, you know, kind of fall themed activity. And I know that they have the Sleepy Hollow where you can meet the Headless Horseman at Fort Wilderness as well. It is an upcharge, so there is a fee to it, but it's still kind of a cool little activity if you're looking for something kind of different as well.
All right, let's get to the next question. It's from Matthew. It says, hot take and Disney Cruise bounce back question. Mike, Ricky, and Pam.
Say it like he's
hot take. Yes. He says, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, my family and I will be doing a Halloween on the High Seas Cruise on October 6th, 2018. We hear the bounce back offer is great. Can you explain what it is and how to transfer it to our agent? And also, does Ricky have a hot take on what is her favorite activity to do on sea days? I want to thank you all for all the great work that you do to deliver a consistently positive and informative podcast. Go D-backs. Everybody's got their team today. Matt's out in Goodyear, Arizona. All right, so let me just explain the bounce back. So what you can do on a Disney cruise is that basically they made it simpler from years past. Years past, you would always, the trick was, and now you don't have to do this anymore, but it was, you would book out the furthest you could, book an 11C, so you had the smallest deposit, and then you'd change the date later on down the road. Disney Cruise Line finally threw us a bone and made this easier. You put down $250. It's what's called a placeholder booking. You have 2 years to sail from the day you put down that deposit, and you can move it to any future cruise, and you'll get 10% off the best prevailing rate. So very, very simple. And if you're working with a travel agent, just let them know that you're working with a travel agent, and they should assign that to the travel agent. And did I miss anything there, Pam? Did I pass the test? What do you think?
Well, so there's certain circumstances where the bounce back offer is really not going to help you. It's only valid on certain sailing dates. If you're staying at a certain category and above, not going to be, it's not going to be worth it for a few reasons. There are also, if you go, what happened to Ricky actually is she had a bounce back offer, but the sailing that she's on right now, she actually had a guaranteed category stateroom, which is one of the least expensive ways to sail with Disney Cruise Line. The bounce back discount is not combinable with that. So things like that. But yeah, I mean, if you know you want to sail and you're willing to sail during one of the days when they're able to apply that bounce back offer, it is a good thing. But make sure, here's what I always tell people to do. Make sure that when you get home, you get with your travel agent, because we can advise you right then and there. Hey, you usually cruise here. This is going to be helpful to you. This isn't going to be helpful to you. And there are some changes in the onboard credit, of course, that we can offer because of that too. So yeah, just be aware of all that.
Yeah, and but I would say too, you know, it doesn't hurt to book the bounce back while you're on, because worst case, you're always going to get the $250 back. You can cancel, boom, you get the money back. You're never going to lose money on it. So don't, you know, really don't get off the, if you're going to sail again, don't get off the ship without booking it, because what happens is if you don't sail within 2 years, you get the refund. It's automatic. So, okay, well, let's move on to the fun thing, because it's the hot take Ricky's got for the sea days. I say tastings. I love tastings and trivia. That's my sea days and Palo brunch, but I might have taken yours. Go ahead, Ricky. What do you do on sea days?
Yeah, so I definitely do Palo brunch. Although this cruise, as of right now, I don't have a Palo brunch scheduled.
Shut out.
I'm hoping I can get one when I get on the ship. I think that I probably will.
Len booked it for everybody he knows, and you just don't know. You already have a seat. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah, I doubt it. he booked the entire restaurant. I'm not going to get
it. Hey, man, I was at Epcot one day when he booked the entire left side of World Showcase for people to eat nachos and all that stuff. That was insane.
That was in Mexico. That was crazy. But yeah, so what else do I like to do at sea days? Really, I like to relax. You know, you don't really have the opportunity to do
Wait, what?
I actually do relax. I take a book and I go and I sit up on the deck and I read said book. I mean, that's crazy, right? But it's so nice to have just that free time where I can sit there and do that, because I don't have the opportunity to sit and read for long periods of time when I'm at home. So that part's really nice. Like you said, I take advantage of the activities that are being offered on the ship. So I'll definitely look at the navigator and see if there's anything in there that I really, really, really have to do. But really, that day is just all about the relaxation. And I can't even tell you how excited I am about my sea day on Friday. So it's going to be amazing. And I have another one after that.
That's actually why I am the most jealous. I love to read and I hardly get time to read at home. I have like all these books on my Kindle, which I know I'll never get to. But on a cruise, I actually do read, except when I get called down to stop people from behaving like children.
This is true. See, the good news is I won't have to go stop people from behaving like children this time at tequila tastings. So that
exactly part's nice. Like that. So yeah,
children I will have on my cruise is my husband. So,
yeah, but when the boys get together, it's sometimes. We all have Pittsburgh Penguin shirts for the next cruise. That's all I'm saying. I can't wait. Oh my gosh, something's hanging there just waiting. All right, next question is from Mandy. It's Amazon Prime or Garden Grocer. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Absolutely love listening to the podcast. I'm planning our first family surf and turf trip. That's another way to call it. A lot of people call it land and sea, but surf and turf will work, I guess. Kind of reminds me of a steak and a lobster. And it's coming up on October 2nd. I'm so excited. We're spending 5 days in the parks and embarking on our first Disney cruise, which will be a four-nighter on the Dream. Listening to the show makes us more excited for our trip. And I bet that last question just really helped Mandy right there. My question is this. We're staying at Saratoga Springs on the first leg in a one-bedroom villa, and I want to order some groceries to make breakfast in the room and other items, including diapers, sunscreen, etc. I am a bit confused as to which delivery service will be my best, easiest option. Do you all have a preference? If so, which do you prefer, Amazon Prime or Garden Grocer? Any other tips you can offer would be much appreciated. Thanks for everything you do. Mandy's up in Seattle, Washington, so she's making the long trek across the country. Todd, when you go down, do you ever prepare any meals in the room? I mean, I know that the focus of your trips a lot of times is to kind of sample the goods, you know, as far as restaurants and stuff like that. But have you ever had anything delivered to the room or anything like that?
No, I haven't. I usually stop on the way down and grab some refreshments for the refrigerator and a couple of breakfast items, maybe some Pop-Tarts or things like that, a little milk for my little one. But we just kind of grab something in the morning and head out. We've never stayed at a place that had a kitchen or a kitchenette or anything like that. So that's not part of what we do, but I understand that's a good way to save money and save some time in the morning if you want to make your breakfast. I've heard that Garden Grocer is nice. I haven't heard much about the Amazon Prime Now. I do know that, not that I would have done this yet, but if you get any alcoholic beverages delivered, you have to have somebody with an ID to pick it up. I do know that for sure.
That makes sense.
Keep it in mind.
That's good. Probably not for the diapers. Yeah,
you don't want to get stuck at the front door without letting it in. But no, we typically just snack in the rooms.
Yeah, I've used Amazon Prime Now. I've used Amazon Prime. It just depends. Like the groceries are more of the Prime Now stuff, and I've gotten cases of soda. You know, like I drink a lot of Coke Zero. We'll get things like you said, like Pop-Tarts, crackers, chips, stuff just for the room. Like when it's 11 o'clock at night, you get back and you don't want to go to the food court and you're just kind of wanting a snack before bed. We get that kind of stuff. I've never used Garden Grocer. Pam, I know you have, right? So suggestions for Mandy here.
So I will say I feel I've mentioned this many times. We use Prime all the time at my house. Thank goodness, because I don't really like to shop that much and stuff just shows up at my house. I mean, I don't like to go to the store and shop. I'm not going to say I don't like to shop, but I don't like to have to go out to shop. But I find that Garden Grocer has more of a variety of items that than Prime Now does. There's sort of a limited supply and what you can order from Prime Now. They're not going to have everything that you want. You can request certain things, but that's not always possible. And Garden Grocer is pretty much like a grocery store, only, you know, that's what it is. Now, people are sometimes like, well, the prices are a little high. I get that. But it's being brought to you, first of all. And if you get a bag of chips versus the price you're going to pay in a Disney, you know, in one of the Disney grocery, like gift shop kind of things, you know, you're going to save money doing that. The case of water is still super reasonable. It comes out to about the price of like four water bottles in the parks. So, you know, I think that Garden Grocer, it's just been around for forever. They're good at what they do. I think if it's not broke, don't fix it.
And Michael's also offering up in the chat here as we record live, you know, nowadays with things like Instacart, the app, they'll go and just get you stuff from like Publix, Whole Foods. You know, basically you can pay for a personal shopper and anything in that. It's nice because it used to be more limited as to what you could get. And now it's like pretty much you get anything
There's
you want.
A whole new world.
Yeah, it's like a personal shopper.
The, you know, thanks to
it is very
technology.
Good.
Love technology.
You know what? It's especially with stuff like diapers that are, because I remember when we traveled with Mallory when she was younger, you know, we drove back then. But I mean, you know, just taking diapers for a week took up a ton of space in the car. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd have been much easier to get them when we got there. We're stupid. We could have just, we had our own car. Why didn't we stop at Target? We're dumb. Why do we haul that stuff?
Why not bring them from home?
I know. Like, St. Louis diapers are A-okay, man. Those Pampers, I'm saying. All right, next question. Possible dumb listener question about Disney gift cards at Walt Disney World. So here we go. We got to help somebody not be dumb. Hello, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Thank you for the great content each and every week. We're heading to the world for 8 days starting on September 28th. On our past trips, we've barely used Disney gift cards, and the ones we used were always for merchandise purchases. I have a question about using them for dining, as we have a few gift cards for this trip. This will be our first food and wine festival. Can the gift cards be used at the food booths? Also, we have the free quick service dining plan, but do have 3 table service ADRs. Can gift cards be used at table service restaurants? Thanks so much and have a magical week. They are, let's see, Zambricki, Jason Zambricki. He's in Pittston, Pennsylvania. He says the tomato capital of the world. Pam, is that close to you? I got to ask you that. The tomato
I don't even know what this town is. I'm Googling it right now.
Pittston.
P-I-T-T
it's like Pittsburgh, but with a T-O-N instead of a burg on the end. So I figured they're like sister cities or something. I don't know.
I'm looking. I don't know about it. But.
There you go. So let me ask Todd this one. So Todd, do you ever use gift cards at the food booths? And you can use Disney gift cards anywhere. You can use a credit card.
Just like a credit card. They're accepted everywhere. The Food and Wine Festival did offer a special gift card this year for those who are interested. If you load it with $250, they get a special gift card and a cute little lanyard with a Mickey kind of a trinket on the end of it. So if you're going to spend a couple of days at the festival or anywhere for that matter, it's, you know, pretty good value. And $250 goes pretty quickly in Disney, so not a big deal.
And the good thing is like if you bought that gift card, you don't just have to use it on food and wine stuff too. Right. You can use it anywhere. So it's not like, oh no, I'm not buying $250 worth of food. You'll spend that $250 somewhere else too.
And I found it the last day, truthfully, and it's in my bag. I didn't even use any of it. So it's just like a gift card for the next trip or credit. It's accepted everywhere. So yeah, it's pretty cute.
All right, and Jessica in the chat saying, follow up to the gift card question, do all the stores in Disney Springs take the Disney gift card? She's up in Portland, Oregon. So, Pam, would you say most do? I mean, I guess there could be an exception because, again, you got third-party vendors, but, I mean, I think they do, right? I think
most do, but you know what? I charge everything to my band, I think. So in the end, that means they do accept the Disney gift card because you, when you're at your resort, you can just pay with it. With your gift card, if you're there, I'm not even going to say that I know 100% that all of them do take the gift card. Thinking about it, because there's probably some
because you got like the high end places like Coach and stuff like that.
Imagine that the part of the agreement. I don't know.
I can't remember. We've done a lot of shopping. It seems like we always use a regular credit card.
Yeah.
But I would think that most do. But there are, like Mike said, some third parties. I would think there are some that don't.
I like all the stores, like, you know, the Pandora store, or the Kipling store, or, you know, whatever else they've got, the Levi store. I would doubt that those stores would take a Disney gift card.
Probably
they may take the gift card from, like, Levi's would take the Levi's gift card if you have one of those. But I highly doubt that they would take, like, a Disney gift card at those stores. Anything that's owned by Disney. So let's put it this way. If they sell Disney merchandise in the store, like specifically only Disney merchandise, I would say that they would more than likely take a Disney gift card. But if they sell maybe Disney merchandise mixed with other stuff. So like my example for that is like Havana's flip-flops. They have Disney flip-flops, but then they also have their other flip-flops too. That would be a situation where I would think that
because they do take a Magic Band there. I know that for sure.
They took a Magic Band. Okay, that's good. So they would probably take the gift card, but you'd have to ask definitely when you're checking out to see whether that store would take the gift card or not.
So Pam, will you explain real quickly that hack that you use? Because if you want to use Disney gift cards, you can anywhere. Just charge it to your band, and then so you go down to the check-in area of your resort. You got to do it like what, the night before checkout, or what's the latest? You want to make sure you do that.
So we charge everything back to the room because I like, honestly, they give you this nice little printout at the end. It is, and it just makes things, especially for us because we're traveling for tax, you know, there's tax reasons and things like that. So anyways, the printout is awesome, and you have the individual receipt as well, but we charge everything back to our room. And then like the night before checkout, you can go down if you have Disney gift cards and put them, basically use them to pay whatever you have charged to your room during your stay. And absolutely the night before is the time to do it. Some people like to go every other day. I don't think we do that. We don't stay in a hotel, you know, that long. We're usually bouncing around. But yeah, the night before is the time to do it.
All right. Now we got to send a shout out here to, in the chat. Sarah saying, it's your biggest fan, Gianni from the Buffaloes. I guess maybe yeah. Buffalo. I don't know. 10th birthday. So shout out to Gianni.
Happy birthday, Gianni.
There you go. You can hear it today and you can hear it on Wednesday. So there you go. All right. Next question is from Sierra. She says, hey, BOGP crew, it's a not so scary question. Here we go. I like the scary ones.
Not so but scary.
I've been trying to save this question until it's semi-acceptable to talk about the holidays. Is it acceptable yet? Halloween is in full swing at Walt Disney World, and I've heard some jingle bell, jingle bam talk already, so I'm hoping I'm in the clear here. I'm so excited as my husband surprised me with Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party tickets for my big 3-0. We have taken in all the talk from the past few shows where everything has been mentioned here and there, but still have a serious question for you guys. What are your suggestions on the best strategy to do it all? Did we do this last week? Maybe we did. No, maybe it's a similar question. We are going to the first Friday party in October and have no idea what to expect other than that that it's the best party and the parade is a must do. I'm really hoping that it won't be too packed and we can squeeze in all the meet and greets, candy collecting, parade watching, and the Sanderson Sister Show, which I am assuming is a part of the Hollow Wishes. Now that, yeah. Wait, that's the Sanderson Sisters, is that the Hocus Pocus?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dominocus?
Yes, dear.
All right. We consider ourselves Walt Disney World locals, so rides are kind of on the back burner, but we would like to do the ones that have been changed up for the party itself. Space Mountain, for sure. It's my husband's favorite. We've heard seeing a second parade is the best way to go, as some people leave after the first, and that character lines get super long. We also heard meeting Sally and Jack are the best. I'm hoping to get in some unique characters and Stitch. Clearly, I'm just so excited and hoping to get your guidance to navigate through Not So Scary. Thanks for everything. Sierra and Joe are in Tampa, Florida. All right, so we kind of talked about this, I believe, on last Wednesday's show. We kind of gave a rundown of what order to do things for the party. But, Ricky, I know this is one of your favorites, so give some suggestions quickly to Sierra as to Jack and Sally would be first, right? They're the hardest, like, longest line.
100%. And like we said, get to the party early. So get there at 4 o'clock and get in the park. And then once you walk in, head to get in line for Jack and Sally immediately. Like, that's hands down the very first thing you should absolutely do. You could also, if meeting the characters are, you know, obviously key, you can meet the Seven Dwarves. It depends on how much time you really want to spend meeting characters. And it sounds like you don't want to spend all your time meeting characters. So I wouldn't necessarily wait for maybe the Seven Dwarves or Moana, which are the other two, like, kind of characters that are unique for the party. So I would pick one out of the three unique characters and go for that. And then you can meet some of the other characters that are kind of around as well. Because you've got, like, the Winnie the Pooh characters that dress up. And you've got some of the I know Alice in Wonderland characters meet by the Mad Tea Party, stuff like that. So you can find some of the shorter lines and meet those unique characters while you're walking around a little bit. You definitely, I would say, make sure you hit up that second parade.
Yes, yes.
I personally, what I have done is I have done the very last Sanderson Sisters show, so the Hocus Pocus Villain Spectacular. I've done the last one, which I think happens at midnight. But if you want to make sure you see it, I would definitely hit up maybe an earlier show, just in case, you know, for some reason it's canceled. But that midnight show is definitely the one that I would suggest doing. And then the fireworks aren't a set time, so you're not going to have a problem there. You
get
definitely
there early.
Want to get to Main Street.
Yeah, get there early.
Yeah, get there early, get to Main Street. And then you can do the attractions. I would absolutely do the Haunted Mansion. There's going to be a long line for that because it's the Haunted Mansion. And then the other, I think you can skip the Pirates of the Caribbean one if you really wanted to.
No, there's people in there, man.
It's not that spectacular,
come
though.
On.
Come on. It's a guy yelling at you from a from a bridge. I don't
you know what, though?
That
that's like my dream. Back in high school, I worked at Silo X out in Valley Park, and I was a scare actor.
Oh, my gosh. You worked at Silo X? That's awesome.
Yes, and I won the $75 cash prize one night because I was the scariest person in the house when they asked some random person. Yeah.
That's That's right. Okay. All right. That's my brother's favorite. He loves Silo X. Okay. So anyway, I would definitely do Space Mountain in the Dark, though, and I would absolutely do the Mad Tea Party, because I think that that's really cool, the way they got the music and the lights. So you'll have a good time. If you don't want to focus so much on the attractions, you should be able to get most of the things in without too much difficulty.
All right. And I would say definitely see that parade in Frontierland. It's just the parade's better in Frontierland. And the cadaver dance come around sometimes.
I agree. You can see, for some reason, when you're in Frontierland, it feels like your line of sight is better than even when it's on Main Street. On Main Street, I'm feeling like I'm constantly like leaning out and whatever. So, yeah.
All right, let's get to the last question of the day. It's what would you do happily ever after conundrum, and it's from Steve and Carla in Owensboro, Kentucky. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My wife and I have been listening to your podcast religiously since we began planning our Disney vacation for our family of five. It's us, two kids, and my mother-in-law last December. We are visiting October 7th through the 12th, and we're so excited to be staying at the Polynesian Villas. My big question for you is this. My wife has her heart set on seeing Happily Ever After, and I was certainly excited too. However, the week we are visiting has Halloween parties. I knew that's where this was going. Every night except Wednesday. Add to that, the Wednesday is an extra magic hours evening, so the park will be open until 1 o'clock a.m. Our current plan is to eat inside the Magic Kingdom around 6. We have a reservation at Diamond Horseshoe, and then try to get a spot for the show as soon as we're done eating. But my question is this. How crazy is it going to be to try to get a spot to view Happily Ever After? And how miserable are we going to be for the nearly 2 hours that we have to plan to stand around saving our spot for the show? Or are we better off trying to sneak on some rides and just see the fireworks part of the show from somewhere else in the park? We're afraid that with having only one show that week and extra magic hours will make for crazy crowds. What would you Disney experts do? Thanks so much for your amazing podcast and all the info you've provided to help our family have a truly magical experience. Steve and Carla, they're 210 miles from me, 378 from Ricky, 494 from Pam, and 815 from the world, but only 32 miles from their other favorite world, Holiday World, which I want to go to so bad. I follow them on Instagram, and I want to get some of that free soda and sunscreen, so maybe next summer we'll have to meet up out there. You know what? They're thinking this through. Steve and Carla, they're making tons of sense here because, first of all, his wife's heart's set on Happily Ever After. So save your life, Steve. See Happily Ever After. If you have to wait 8 hours, do it. Just smart. Happy wife, happy life, right? But I would I don't know. Pam, give your thoughts on this because, you know, he's trying to because he's made all the right arguments. I mean, if it's the only time, people are going to want to see it. Extra magic hours, people are going to be there.
Go ahead.
I have two suggestions. First of all, do yourself a favor, book a dessert party.
Yeah,
right
I was
now.
Thinking that. I was thinking that exactly.
that's the easiest thing to do. My second suggestion, and this is what my family does all the time, is we tend to roll up for fireworks between 30 minutes and 15 minutes prior. And we actually, it is busy, but if you kind of weave your way up, you can usually get a good spot. And I'm not talking like we're being rude or anything. People, like, it's not, the cast members haven't been like, you know, get this far away from the people around you yet. You know, we try to like hit that sweet spot and there's a lot of spaces there. And we get up, typically we have a good spot for it. The thing is, I think you have to feel fairly comfortable in the parks, like know where you can get into the hub when you're not already there. And you have to be okay with, sometimes it doesn't work out. Like sometimes we're stuck behind, you know, someone, or there's a line getting into that we wanted to get into, to get into the hub, and it's not moving at all. And we're just kind of have to be okay with where we are is where we are. And some of the spots really aren't that great. So I'm just going to tell you that. So if it were me, I would absolutely be booking a dessert party. I mean, it's a small price to pay for knowing you're going to have a great location to see the fireworks. And you're going to have all those yummy desserts to eat, too. And you're going to have a comfortable spot to see it from, too. So enjoy.
I 100% agree with that. I mean, because the thing is, like, your wife wants to see it. And you're going to be a hero to the entire family, mother-in-law, the kids.
Right.
I mean, you are going to be the rock star. And you're spending money. Don't get me wrong. You're putting down some decent money there. But it's like a VIP thing. Everybody's going to be happy. Everybody's going to walk out of there. Because that show is it's unbelievable. Like, I was really worried when Wishes left. And this is kind of why, You know, we're talking pre-show about Illuminations being changed out, and I'm glad they're doing it the way they are. You know, next, they're giving us, everybody's going to have a chance to go see it one more time because it isn't happening until mid-2019. So that's good. Disney's doing this right. But one of the reasons, and, you know, back in the day, 7 years ago, I said I was going to, you know, chain myself with Henry Wark to the Earth Globe when they change it out. But they did such a good job of replacing Wishes, which was beloved, with Happily Ever After, which is amazing. So I trust Disney again on this one. So I'm not so bitter, and you know, I'm not a bitter Betty about it. But and Steve's in the chat here. So he says dessert parties are, they're booked solid for that night, which I thought that might be the case because of the one deal.
You know, dang. But you might have somebody who cancels.
Yeah, that's true.
Before. So you might want to double check like the day before to see if maybe it opened up. That might always be a possibility.
It looks like Steve needs to buy ice cream sandwiches for the family and to squeeze in, you know. Make your own dessert party on the fly. So anyway, have a good time. Let's know how it goes, Steve. We hope it works out for you. It is a great show, and definitely don't miss it. Thanks for all the great questions, everybody, today. That's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget, today's episode has been brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. So, Ricky, I know that Illumination's going away mid-2019. We don't have a new show name or specifics on this. I don't know if that was going to be what we're reading about on Theme Park News, but what you got for us?
So, yeah, we really don't know a lot about about the new show. There's not, I mean, all they basically said is, hey, Illuminations is going away. We don't know when Illuminations is going away. All we know is the end of summer 2019. And we don't know what the new show is. We don't know what the new show is going to be called. We don't know if there's going to be a gap in between the two shows. We don't know when it's going to debut. We really don't know anything about the show. All we know is that it's going to debut. So, as kind of a bummer that is. That's kind of what we're reading about. We're reading about the fact that something is happening and we don't know anything else about it.
So keep, you know, that's a good point, though, is to keep reading Theme Park News Disney Edition, because eventually you're going to find out the name of that show, when it's going to debut and all that stuff. And you're going to be the first to know by checking it out on this free iOS app. And it's going to look great on those on that Max and the XS and XR and the crazy names this time around. But you know what? It's for Apple devices. So check it out over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks, everybody, who continues to support the show with your Amazon affiliate link. You know, purchasing through that link, we appreciate it so much. Anytime you're shopping on Amazon, whether you're doing some last minute, like stuff you don't need to buy, like I hate this. Well, every time I buy a new phone, and I only get one every other year. I don't get one every year, so I'm not crazy like that, but I buy stupid stuff. Like, I had to buy a new pop socket that's a Mizzou pop socket the other day. But you know what? I used the link, so I felt better about it. Even though, like, I felt bad for the guy who had to deliver the thing on a Sunday. It's a Mizzou pop socket. Seriously. Like, why are you delivering that on a Sunday? I felt so guilty. I was like, I hope he doesn't know what's in there. Please tell me he doesn't know what's in this package, because it is so not life or death. But anyway, anytime you do that, you know, spur of the moment shopping on Amazon, please click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube. Just search for the Be Our Guest Podcast. It's Be Our Guest Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and Be Our Guest Mike as well. And of course, you can join the Facebook group at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday, again, talking about the best and worst, actually, of Food and Wine 2018 with Chef Todd. So stand by for that. Grab something to eat before Friday's show. I'm telling you, if you're like me and listen to podcasts, as soon as you get up in the morning when you're on your run, this one might be painful. I'm just telling you. So be ready.
A lot of food.
That's all I know. It's going to be fun. I saw your pictures, man. They just never stopped when you were down there. I was like, oh my gosh, is there anything? Has Todd spared anything? There's a picture of everything. So stand by for that. We're going to have a good time talking food and wine on Friday. So until then, for Ricky, Pam, and Todd, I'm Mike. Wish you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.